We've all heard the warnings. Robots are about to take over our jobs. Well, surgery has become one profession that's adopted this kind of technology early. They use robotic surgery machines like the Da Vinci in performing anything from hernia operations to removing cancer. But this new technology is fundamentally changing the way surgeons are trained, and it's creating some problems for surgery residents, according to Matt Bean. He's project scientist with the technology management program at UC Santa Barbara. He studied this problem extensively, and when I spoke with him, I asked him to start by explaining to us how this works. What is the surgeon's role when there's a robot involved?
Sure. So perhaps the easiest way to do that is let's talk about good old-fashioned surgery, the kind of surgery, not to get too graphic, that involves a team working close to a patient in large incisions and so on. Everyone's standing right next to each other. There's not much talk, actually. There's lots of gesture and working together to accomplish the surgical act. Transport yourself now to another operating room in the same hospital where, aside from getting the robot attached to the patient, which involves pulling a 1,000-pound four-armed robot up to an anesthetized patient and attaching it to them through small keyhole incisions, then that surgical team disperses in space in the room. So a couple people stay near the robot and the patient, but the surgeon moves 15 feet away, takes off their sterile garb, and sits down at a very expensive 3D immersive video game console, basically, with foot and hand controls. And they then look through a camera mounted on one of the arms of that robot into the insides of the patient and operate with their hands and feet. And their hands and feet control very scaled down, precise movements of that robot inside the patient. And what they see is projected to everyone on TVs throughout the operating room. So you can see exactly what's going on right in the surgeon's field of vision.
Wow. So you studied robotic surgery for 2 years to find out how surgeons are adapting to this technology. So tell us, what was the major finding that you came away with?
Sure. Essentially, it's that the way you learn how to do surgery historically for many decades is to apprentice, meaning you stand by the a senior surgeon and you watch them do it for a while, and then you do a little bits of increasing surgery, and then you start to teach junior surgeons just as you're about to rotate out. This is known colloquially as the see one, do one, teach one approach. There's all kinds of medical literature about this, and there's a lot of policy around learning sort of happening in the OR this way. And that approach, finding one was, in robotic surgery, that breaks down. Because if you're a senior surgeon, you don't need me to do the operation anymore. You can do it all by yourself with that robot. And because you're legally, ethically, morally bound to protect that patient and ensure good quality results for them, you're just not going to delegate to me that much. Mm-hmm. It's entirely optional. And so that breaks down that channel. And many, in fact, I find most residents just really fail to learn the system because they're just not getting enough practice.
Right. So it seems to me like there must be some sort of simple solution to this, like a simulator training like a pilot uses or something like that. Does that not exist?
So they do have simulators. In fact, a few kinds of simulators. So one, you've got a digital simulator that is a physical console, very much like the one in the operating room, and you use it to play glorified video games, like moving a ring around a surgical field and so on, to practice basic, you know, motor skills, learning to move your hands, so to speak, using this robot. There are also open-air simulators where you're actually trying to, say, peel a grape, for example, using the system. Mm-hmm. And then there are labs where you might practice a surgery on a pig. The trouble with all of these, or one problem I identify in the study, is that while they're available, you don't have the time to practice as a resident. You're expected to be spending all of your time in the OR. And simulation is looked down on as this inferior, inappropriate way to learn how to do proper surgery. Hmm. I have one surgical chief who just, his big quote for my study was, "Watching movies doesn't make you an actor." It's sort of very strongly countercultural to learn through these abstract methods.
That's really interesting. So I wonder, what do you think are the results of this? Or do we know yet if it is that residents are not getting enough training on these things? Is it that they won't be able to do those surgeries or they won't be able to do them well?
Both. So in the short run, what I found in the study is a very small minority of surgeons who, through these what I call shadow learning practices, come to competence very quickly and are very good by the end. Mm-hmm. Most of their cohort are not confident or competent to the level that their mentors or you and I would want them to be, but everyone's legally empowered to do surgery. So practically what this translates into is a hyper-specialized minority that can't possibly serve a large population, but then many who are empowered to use the robot and do very few procedures a year as a result. They just don't prefer that modality, but they still do use the system.
I guess what I want to understand, though, how close is this when you're using one of these robotic machines to perform the surgery? How close is that to what you're going to do when you're performing a quote-unquote traditional surgery? Like, is this something that is an entirely different skill set?
So entirely no. It's much more different than it is similar, if you look at it. So there are a whole set of skills associated with using your own body in cooperation with others to perform a surgical procedure, mm-hmm. and how that differs from sitting at a console and doing it essentially yourself. But you also have to be doing new kinds of communication with other people in the OR to get the work done, to find out what's happening next to the robot. You can't see that anymore. What's happening to the patient? You can't see the patient's body anymore. All you can see is an area of space the size of a postage stamp inside the patient. Hmm. So it pretty radically reconfigures things. And the key thing here is that, surgeons came to this early. Surgery brought in robotics very deeply and broadly early, and they, I assume, in many ways will resolve these problems. But many other professions, many other groups are going to be drawing in these kinds of technologies deeply into their work. So to my mind anyway, the key, this study is, I hope, useful to surgeons in the practice of surgery and patients. But as the rest of us start to contend with these technologies, AI, robotics, machine learning, new sensors, and so on, we can look to this study to identify some of the traps and some of the opportunities that we could all expect to deal with as we try to adapt.
All right. Dr. Matt Bean, thanks so much for joining us to talk about this.
Not at all. My pleasure.
Dr. Matt Bean is a project scientist with the Technology Management Program at UC Santa Barbara.